Technology.ie. It's Wednesday, May 7th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Keith Fulton, Rovish Talk. This is Con in the Black Knight studio. And on Skype, on the internet, it's Michele Nealon. In his office, I think. Is that where you are, Michele?
Yep, I'm in the office in Carlo.
Good. Where have you been? You've been around the world, I think, since I spoke to you last.
Well, when was the last time we actually spoke?
It's been about 3 weeks.
Oh, let me see. Where have I been? I was in Los Angeles all of last week. I had a couple of days just to do my own thing, and then I had 3 days of intense meetings in ICANN's offices.
But you've got a new gig on your international achievements, Michele. You've, as we reported at least a year ago, in fact, Black Knight joined the Internet Infrastructure Coalition, and now you've been appointed to its board.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I mean, the thing with the Internet Infrastructure Coalition is it was formed around the time there was all the debacle around PIPA and SOPA.
That's right.
And essentially, you know, PIPA and SOPA were the kind of the catalyst, but it's been working on a lot of different things around lobbying government and others to, you know, keep the internet free and open the way we like it.
And we interviewed, I think, is it Christian Dawson who's involved
yes.
with that?
Yes.
We interviewed Christian before, and it's primarily a US-based organization, but they have, it's obviously it's the internet, duh, it's global, and European companies like Black Knight have been encouraged to get involved. But it is, I suppose, it is important primarily to address things on a US stage.
Well, I mean, the thing is this, is that ultimately it's meant to be global, but it has been predominantly US oriented. So the thing is that, you know, trying to, you know, make that a little bit more international is one of the things that we're hoping to do over the next while.
Now, when this got started, as you say, the SOPA and PIPA legislation in the United States were part of the stimulus for this organization. But
yeah.
Would it be fair to say that net neutrality is a bigger issue at the moment?
Net neutrality is an issue. I don't think it's, for the I2C, it wouldn't be a massive issue. Because realistically speaking, I mean, sure, it's not something we're going to ignore, but I think things like online surveillance and that kind of stuff is much more important.
Right.
Like the big thing I think for a lot of us is the online surveillance. I mean, they sent around an email just in the last half hour or so, talking about how, you know, the national security letters, which are sent to U.S. providers. And, you know, you get one of those, you can't talk about it. You can't tell the customer, you can't tell anybody. And this is an issue that a lot of companies are struggling with, where you receive valid requests from law enforcement, from government, from, you know, some higher body, but you're not allowed to tell anybody that you received it, which is hugely problematic. Mm.
I raise net neutrality. That's obviously important, Michele, and we've been talking about it without a doubt as well. But I raise net neutrality because it's kind of current at the moment. In your travels in the United States, what did you hear, whether it was with the I2 Coalition or with ICANN? What's the feeling in response to the latest statement from the FCC, which is that they are going to permit some form of a two-tier, two-speed internet?
Yeah, this is a problem. I mean, the thing about net neutrality is something that's been discussed in a lot of fora for a long time. I mean, essentially the idea behind all this is that if you're a network operator, so let's say in the Irish context, you've got Aircom, you've got UPC, you've got a bunch of other different providers. Now, at the moment, they all play nice together, and there's no real issue. But can you imagine a situation where if you were a Netflix subscriber, Aircom might try to get Netflix to to pay an extra fee in order to carry that traffic, just as an example.
Yeah.
Or UPC might tax Google for YouTube traffic.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with this is that, sure, being very, very pragmatic about it, you can't ignore the fact that YouTube and Netflix and all these other services do use network resources. They do use network resources. You can't say that they don't. But the thing about the internet is that it has grown up as being neutral, that, you know, everybody plays nice with everybody else, and in the kind of grand scheme of things, it all sorts itself out. The problem with the way that some of this stuff could pan out is that you could end up in a situation where there's multiple internets,
yeah,
with different speeds, different access, different costs, and you know, this would completely screw up the business model for a lot of companies, and it becomes more and more problematic. If you look at our customers who are providing online services, I mean, can you imagine a situation where, I don't know, let's say Aircom decides that traffic to Bank of Ireland should go at a slower speed than traffic to Allied Irish Bank.
Yeah.
Or the traffic, I mean, I don't know. I mean, just there's a lot of scary permutations with it.
It's something that has, you know, the people who've been calling for legislation and regulation in relation to this. And the arguments, I think, are pretty self-evident. And most people would agree that, you know, at the end of the day, it's the customer, it's the consumer, it's the user who's paying the ISP for the bandwidth. And yeah, leaving peering considerations aside, or what's your take on that? For example, Netflix recently engaged in a paid peering arrangement with Comcast, but I think most people would agree that that's different. Once those packets get onto Comcast network, they should be treated the same as everyone else's.
Well, the thing about this is, I mean, several people have looked at that and said, well, you know, that's just the beginning of the end in some respects, and it's a hard one to call on.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've looked at it, I've scratched my head, and I'm kind of going, okay. I can see dangers in this.
I think a lot of people can. I think a lot of people.
But when it comes to peering arrangements between two companies, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. I mean, most of the peering that companies like ourselves do at exchanges like INEX and elsewhere, it's just simple, straightforward peering. In other words, there's no money changes hands. We pay fees to the exchange, and the exchange facilitates the interconnection, the cross connection between multiple companies. So, like, we peer directly with Google, we peer directly with VeriSign, we peer with Microsoft, and with pretty much all the major Irish ISPs. And no money changes hands. But doesn't mean that some companies couldn't decide, well, yeah, we'll peer with you, but we're going to peer with you only in certain circumstances.
So even that peering arrangement, you feel has, you know, it has question marks.
Well, it's not. It's just, you know, the thing is that I've read quite a bit of the media coverage of that, and I mean, quite a few people were worried that if they allow for that kind of peering arrangement, then it could become a problem further down the road. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't fully agree or disagree.
Okay,
I think that there's a lot of things that could happen there. But, you know, the point being that at a simple level, you know, ultimately companies can do what they want to do, but if the net neutrality thing is really a case of, you know, if you have this thing where a company pays for access to a network, then, you know, that does have an impact.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a problem.
Absolutely. Okay, and obviously the surveillance you've mentioned as well. We're going to hear more about it, Michaela, and we'll hear more, no doubt, from yourself. But it's good news, and congratulations on your appointment to the board of the Internet Infrastructure Coalition. It's good to hear the techies, that the infrastructure, that the nuts and bolts of the internet are getting represented in that way. I wanted to talk briefly. We've had a couple of exclusives in the last week or so here on technology.ie, Michaela. I'm going to talk in a moment about one which is an investigation we've conducted in relation to voicemail hacking. But first of all, tying in with Black Knight's commitment this year, Michele, to support social and to help businesses see how they can actually use social to get business and drive sales, Black Knight sponsored Damien Mulley to give a free half-day training seminar in the Seven Oaks Hotel in Carlow recently. That was that day went very well, and now we've published the first of a series of videos from that day, which are... I've got some very positive feedback on that this morning, Michele. One guy told me that he took a look and he says, 34 minutes, there's no way I'm going watching a 34-minute video. But he said he made a cup of tea and he sat down and he found it absolutely riveting. That's part one of Damien's talk, if you remember, where he literally brought out the very latest market research to show what the latest is in digital trends.
Mm. No, it was a good event, and I think the... the way that, I think, the videos are quite long. Mm. So trying to get people to sit down and watch that isn't an easy sell. But at the same time, I think if you can sit down and watch, a keynote from somebody, well, why not sit down and watch some of these things?
Well, what someone has been in touch with me and pointed out is, as well, and we're going to do this, is they said, why not put the audio from that into our podcast stream? And we're going to do that tomorrow. So if you're subscribed, for example, on iTunes or using some other podcatching software to our RSS feed to get this particular podcast containing this conversation we're doing right now with myself and Michele, tomorrow in that feed you're going to find the audio of Damien's content as well. And if you want to see the pictures, you can go on YouTube and see them as well. So it's good stuff, without a doubt. But some people might say, Damien does this for a living, and now we've put up his content for free on the internet for people to look at. But I realise why Damien doesn't have a problem with that, Michele, and it's very simply this. As he pointed out himself, things move so fast in digital marketing and social media. This content will be out of date in 6 months' time. This video probably will be. But Damien is still going to be right up to date because he's using the very latest market research and the very latest data to stay right on top of things. And I don't know about you, but I certainly learned something at that seminar we had. Did you get a chance to see our post on Sunday in relation to voicemail hacking in Ireland and the interview that I did with Conal O'Moore on the Sunday Business Show on Today FM?
I did. I listened to it, yes.
What do you make of it?
That's good.
Yeah, I'll just to fill the listeners in, and you can check this out. The podcast from the Sunday Business Show is available as well, and you can check that out on technology.ie. We don't have permission to put it into this feed. But essentially, it was following up on a story that was reported in the Register in the UK. And this is something which has been flagged going back here in Ireland, even going back to 2011. I found a blog post by TJ McIntyre raising this question, which is that, sure enough, the phone hacking controversy in relation to the newspapers in Britain identified that voicemail was being hacked. It was being hacked primarily because people weren't bothering to change the default PIN number on their mobile phone voicemail. But as was pointed out as well, a very straightforward and, as I discovered, shockingly easy way to hack somebody's voicemail is simply to spoof their caller ID, to pretend using a VoIP phone or a VoIP system such as Asterisk that you are actually calling from that phone itself. And you can dial the long version of the voicemail box, Michele. You know that where you just put a 5 in before your main number and it gets you straight through to the voicemail. Not even the 171 short code. And it actually gets you straight through in 2 out of the 3 cases that we tested. We're not going to identify what networks are involved just yet, but it is kind of surprising that what do you think, Michele, that a hole such as this hasn't actually been plugged?
Well, I think it's one of these things. I mean, I'm wary of referring to this as hacking. I would refer to it as being a massive bloody security hole.
Yes.
In my mind, hacking requires more effort.
More effort and skill.
Yes.
Yeah. So this
the fact that the system is insecure and that allows for easy spoofing of the phone number is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I look at it in terms of networks. Mm. It would be like IP address spoofing, which, is not technically impossible, yeah. But if your network is set up properly, it should disallow it.
I have to say it's not entirely. It took a while, for example, to find a VoIP service provider which would allow you to specify any kind of number you liked as the caller ID. In fact, in most cases, they insisted that you demonstrate that you actually owned the phone number in question. Skype, for example, will insist that you it'll actually send you a text, and it'll allow you to use the number that you sent that text to as your caller ID. But it's interesting. We're going to investigate it some more once we've covered all of the networks in Ireland and given them a chance to respond. We'll come back on that. And the other thing I wanted to say to you as well is that this will actually, we seem to have got a bit of a regular feature now on the Sunday Business Show on Today FM. So if listeners want to tune into that on next Sunday morning, I'll be on again, and we'll be talking more technology, and we'll be blogging that, of course, on technology.ie as well. Something else we blogged during the week, Michele, you're impressed with Halo. You're a fan of Halo, I know, and now they've launched a business-friendly service. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this, I think, is something that, for me, I'm a company director, so I have company credit cards and everything else, so I can... When I use Halo or Uber or things like that, I can get stuff billed to a company card, get the receipt, give it to the accounts team, and we're done. But if I want staff to to do trips for us, then they're going to have to be to pay for things out of their own pocket, then get reimbursed and everything else. Now that's a bit of a pain in the neck. So when companies like Halo make it easy for companies like ourselves to give employees access to the service, then I think that's a win for everybody.
It is, and it's certainly a win for Halo. It's going to win them more business, without a doubt. But it's also a thing that perhaps you would have typically had with larger companies, that they would have an account with a particular taxi company, and they'd tell their employees, just use this taxi company, and just tell them to put it on the account or whatever it is. But this is even better, because Halo is representing a whole load of taxi providers in a whole load of cities, and it's not necessarily, you don't necessarily need to have an account with a particular company. You've got an account and a company account with a whole community of taxi drivers, so it's definitely a positive thing. Finally, Michele, I wanted to talk about another little handy quick win thing that we just blogged today on technology.ie. You like this, I think. Amazon have introduced a hashtag to let you shop on Twitter, and basically, what are they calling it again? Amazon cart. So if you see an Amazon link, an Amazon product link tweeted, all you have to do is reply to that with the hashtag #AmazonCart, and it'll pop it into your Amazon shopping cart, and the next time you log in, it's there and ready for you to buy.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the kind of thing that, whether or not it leads to a huge number of sales or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It just means that, there's a load of people who are, a load of companies that are leveraging some of these things like this, kind of connecting Twitter accounts with various services, and then being able to use that for a variety of different things. Mm.
Yeah. It's cool, but what I like about it, it's not just sales, it's marketing as well, because all your friends are going to see you reply with that hashtag and say, I wonder what he's buying.
Depends on how the tweet is formed,
I guess. So
because if the tweet is directly at Amazon, then no, they won't see it
unless you're also following whoever it is. Yeah.
But I still think it's a cool idea.
We're open to cool ideas all the time. We keep covering them on technology.ie. Hopefully we can have a chat again next week. And until then, bye for now.
All right, thanks, Colin.